I'm Aaron Abramczy, and I serve in Hungary in a local church which called Diósd. I also lead a youth ministry movement which called Youth Builders, and also I'm the head of the youth department of the Reformed Church in Hungary, where we are responsible for 400 congregations to equip them, train them, and cooperate with them. And today we are gonna talk a little bit about how to unite, equip, and resource youth ministry leaders. It's a big topic, but I really count on you. What's your opinion? What's your questions? What's your challenges? So feel free to ask questions in any time. Feel free to criticize me. Feel free to argue what I say, and feel free to just interrupt. So we will do today different kind of topics. So the first question is, why do we need to equip, unite, and resource youth ministry leaders? The second, what we will have is, how did they do this in the Bible? The third, why does it not work so simply? So if you want to unite, train, and resource them, why is it not working so simply? And the first one is that how to not equip, and it's wrong in here, but how to do it or how to not do it. It's a little bit about my failures and my story and some of the things which went well in my life. And the last one, that how can you start or continue to train, equip youth ministry leaders? So the first question is that, why do we need to equip, unite, and resource? And David Kinnaman, who is the leader of Barna Group and does many, many resources about youth and church and everything which is about Christianity, he had a research which summarized two decades of research, and he just realized that teenagers are the most active part of the church, but the 20-somethings are the least active. So David Kinnaman and his team just realized that 60% of the college-age students leave the church. And it's really interesting because the teenagers are the best in attending to church. So it's a big difference between these two ages. And the second one is that it's really interesting that 23% of them feel that the Bible is not taught clearly in the congregations, which is a good news, I think, because it means that they are really interested, happy to hear the good news. So they would be happy to hear the good news. So if we want to engage with them, the first what we can do is to train our leaders to read, understand, and apply better the gospel and all the Holy Scripture. So that's what they realize in here. And it's also really interesting that that there is another major reason why we need to do this, why we need to unite, resource, and equip youth ministry leaders. And it's because of the youth. They are changing, as you said, Chaba. So we just see, and David Kinnaman's teams also see, that their face is changing. Most of the young people can't even say one Bible verse which is important for them, which was important in their life-changing experience with Jesus. So they don't really know the Bible. They just have a personal, emotional experience about Jesus, but they don't really have the strong ones, the personal face in that with knowledge as well. And also Kendra Krashidin says that they have a special view about God, which is really, really interesting, which is they see God as a cosmic therapist who helps in a lot of ways, but not really engage in the word. So he doesn't really care what we do here. He exists, he's something, but we are not really important for him. And that's what they think mostly and mainly. So that's why we need to equip, unite, and resource youth ministry leaders. Kendra Krashidin just says that if you already knew everything there is to know, and everyone has told you that you are good just the way you are, if you think that God's job is to make you feel good about yourself, then there is a little reason to sit at the feet of Jesus and live the humble life of a disciple. So it's really interesting to see that the youth culture is changing, and our culture is also changing. And in our culture, all the entertainment, all the advertisement is focused on the youth. So they really, really are looking for what is important for the youth. So because of that, the youth feels that we are really important. Everyone is caring about us. What we think, how we think, what we like is important. So that's why we came to here. So if we are the most important, why should we feel any need for God? So that's also a change, and that's why we need to train youth leaders how to engage with the youth. And after these milestones, we could say that, oh, this youth is just really bad. These days are really bad, and what a nice days we had at the back. But actually, before we do this, we should see what's the responsibility of the congregations and the churches. Because I think they also have a big responsibility on the issue that we have now in youth ministry. And the first of that 65% of the churches doesn't have any youth ministry involvement, not even a program, not even a try. And some of them, it's understandable because some of them are in countryside and they don't even have the youth because they already moved or already study somewhere else. So some of them are understandable, but still it's a really big statistics what we can do, what we should do something with it. And the other one, Youthscape did a research with 2,000 congregations in England, and they asked the youth before, what is your topics, what you are interested in it? What kind of topics would you be happy to hear in the congregations? They had a list, and after that, they asked the churches, how often do they address these problems? How often do they address these topics? And the result of this research was that 10% of the congregations regularly discuss about pornography, gender, and all the other themes or topics what is interested for the youth. So it's also another need, another responsibility of the congregations that we don't really engage with those topics what they are interested. Also another interesting statistics that one-third of the youth are interested to be a scientist or any kind of science territory they would like to step in. But they really experience that in the congregation, none of the preaching, none of the teaching or small groups, they don't really have these topics. So they feel that it's not connecting with their life. So that's why they just can't have a help what they could connect. So that's why they feel that it's pointless. The second part is, how did they unite, equip and resource in the Bible? So what can we learn from the Bible? And I really like this passage, and I'm sure that you know this, but I would like to outread for you Ephesians 4. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, and became mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And you can see in this passage that it's really important to equip his people for the work of service. You can see that this is the key to reach unity in the faith. And it's we know this passage, but still it's really important that we don't really follow in training youth ministers. Because in here, Paul says that our main reason or our main goal is to equip youth ministry leaders. And in the same time, if we are honest with ourselves, for example, I've never seen a youth ministers who are not busy with programs, who are not busy to plan the programs and prepare the programs. I never met a youth pastor who did not run at least some fun event, a game night, or some really good stuff which the youth enjoy. And they do this because they want to engage with the youth. But in a way, when we are focuses on programs, then sometimes we lose the other goal, which is to equip all the youth and also the youth leaders. So it's really important to engage with the youth, but sometimes we just change the order. And the first order is to equip them, not to entertain them. So, and because of that, we have the danger to train our student leaders and our leaders also to engage and entertain the youth. So that's a big danger for us, to miss this opportunity and to miss this calling to train and equip youth ministry leaders. But how would the ministry look like, which is driven in the spirit of the Ephesians 4? First and foremost, I think we should have a word training. And what I mean about that the training for God's people needs to be explicitly word training. So if we believe in that God's word is important and powerful, then we should train our leaders the word of God, how to read that, how to understand that, how to apply that, and how to lead that, to do Bible study. So that's the main and the most important part of training youth leaders, to train them the word, the Holy Scripture. What does it mean? Because it's much more powerful than the skills, much more powerful than the games. And we experience this. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it's just a faster success for us to do a game or an entertained even for the youth. So I would like to read another a passage for you, which is from 2 Timothy. And I'm really sure that you know this passage, but I would like to read this. The Holy Scripture, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be truly equipped for every good work. So if we believe that God's word is more powerful than any other skill, if we think that it's more powerful than any other game, then we should train all the other leaders to understand, read, and apply this really, really well. And I really believe that if our local churches should do this, it would be much more fruitful a youth ministry. So I think that's the first, how should we train the youth ministry leaders with the word of God. And my experience is also that sometimes that's one of my failure, that when I organize a conference, we have a conference for 400 youth leaders in Hungary every year. This is for 11 denominations. And it's a big challenge for me to see the balance, because sometimes I just believe much more in training and teaching them some skills and some new methods, and not the words. And that's what I see in our church, that sometimes we had the devotions, we have the worship, we have the preaching and the teaching, but because we have to have that once. So because every event we have that once, but we don't really believe in that once. So that's why I think we need to change the order, we need to change the priority, and we need to believe that if God's word is strong, that then we should put it in the first place. And also, in the last 11 years since I'm in youth ministry, I just really see that God's words change much more life than the skills what I learned from youth ministry books. So it's a bigger effect on people, God's word. So we can learn skills here as well in this workshop, but actually it's much more important to just rely on God's words. And then the last part, I just would like to share that how to or how not to unite, equip and resource leaders. I would like to share my story, my failures, something which went right. And after that, I would like to just share a couple of ideas, tips, how to train them. So that's the last part. My story that I was a local pastor and I served in a youth ministry. After every Friday, I really felt that I can't really do youth ministry. I'm not really good at it. Every week, I just felt that I don't know why, but I like it. I really love it, but I'm not really good at it. And I just make so many mistakes. And every week by week, it just get more and stronger and stronger, this feeling that I really loved it, but I wasn't good at it. And after a couple of years, we started a network with other local pastors and shared our stories, shared our models. We prayed a lot together. We read books and our skill just grow. But still, I really felt that I'm not really good at it. But I really liked it more and more, years by years. And after that, we had these networks for 4 years. And we just decided to do a little training for our youth leaders. Just 3 congregations cooperated with each other. 3 weeks before the Saturday when we had the training, we just started to organize. So it's not a big event. But 11 other congregations just applied that they want to come. They didn't know anything about that, so I don't know when did they hear this training, but they joined. And the next year, we realized that maybe we should make an event for it for Facebook. And we advertised this, that we have the training. And in 1 week, 180 other youth leaders from the country applied to participate in it. So the next year, we also advertised this, and 400 youth leaders came. We didn't put any money on this. We didn't have a movement behind this. We didn't have a firm or a congregation behind it. We were just only volunteers to how we did this. But we see a need that people are really on their own. They don't really know how to do youth ministry. We really felt and see that they feel that they are really lonely. And we also knew on that time that after 18 months, usually they just quit from the youth ministry. They escape and they have a burnout. And youth ministry is the part of church ministry, which is the fastest. So that's the shorter time when people get burnout. And it was really a sad moment for us. So we started this training. We started to them, and from 11 denominations, they came. We asked them that what's their needs? How should we help with our training? So we didn't say that we have a training and you should come. Instead of that, we just said that, all right, we see that you are in school ministry. What's your need? How should we help? Would you be happy to lead that network in the training? And we did the same with the congregations, with the youth movement. And we just had this training. After 3 years, when we saw that it's growing, this training is growing, we just realized that maybe we should start a movement. And that's when Youth Builders, 3 years ago, just started and we established Youth Builders. Now 10 of us works there, but that's how it happened. So for me, it's really interesting that we didn't do the training of youth ministers on purpose, but instead of that, we just see our needs, we just step in our local needs, and it grows organically to a regional and a countrywide needs. And after that, we had the year-round mentorings for the people, because we just realized that if you have a training, for example, 1 weekend per year, it's not effective, it's just pointless, because they go there, they got really excited. For 3 days after that, they are just really, really excited to do everything. They have new ideas. They speak with everyone in the congregation. But after that, they just lose their motivation. So it's not really effective. So after that, we just realized if we want to equip, resource, and unite youth ministry leaders, it's not enough to have one training for them. And instead of big conferences, we should have small small trainings for them, mentoring sessions, one-on-one mentorings, and some other webinars, which is about smaller and less people. And after that, we just realized that it happened that it's countrywide unity, I think, in Hungary now with this training. So from Lutherans, from Baptists, from Charismatics, from Methodists, from Reform, they all came and they are happy to do that. They don't have their own trainings in Hungary. They don't have their own trainings with the denominations or with the youth movements. But we have one training in Hungary because they saw that it's a common need what we should step in together. But I also have lots of failures and I would like to share it, and I'm happy to share it, and how to not do this. So it was good to see that we had to wait a lot. So if you start youth ministry trainings, So if you start youth ministry trainings, it is possible that you won't see any success in a year or in 2 years. And I think it's the same in youth ministry as well, in a small local congregation as well. If you start this, maybe you won't see any change in 3 years because it's a slow motion. So I had to wait, and I wasn't really good at waiting. I wasn't really patient. The other failure what we had, that we had too many challenges, too many needs what we should step in. And we couldn't really decide which one should we choose, which one should we focus on. So that's the second failure, that sometimes I just want to point too many challenges. And it's really hard because in youth ministry, I'm sure that you could say a lot of needs and a lot of problems. But the question is, what do you choose? And the third one, I already mentioned this, that the balance between the Word of God and between the skills. And how do you choose between these? And I also mentioned this one, that if you only have a training, it's not enough. So you would need mentoring sessions and one-on-ones. And there are so many other failures as well that I missed. Sometimes I didn't find the focus. Sometimes I just, I was really rely on skills and on success and not on God. So some of the things that went right and which I think can help how to resource and equip your youth ministry leaders is, I think, and that's the main takeaway what I learned, that if we listen, that's the most important skills in training youth ministry leaders. For example, this year we traveled in Hungary a lot. We visited more than 100 people, we only asked them questions and listened them for hundreds and hundreds of hours. What's their needs, and how are they, and how should we help them? And we were there in their context and just listened, what's their needs? And the interesting about that after that, half year later, when we organized the training and invited them, they just appeared. And immediately, or if we started a project or a year-round mentoring, they just applied without any questions. So they were already really engaged just because we were listening to them. It wasn't on purpose. We didn't know that listening is this powerful. But I think listening to them is one of the best thing to do. The second one is, I think we should leave all the trainings organically grow. Sometimes we want to be fast. Sometimes we don't want to wait. But I'm sure that if God wants something, that then it will go in that way. So we don't need to rush. So that's the second thing, that we can leave it. Also, it's a good question, I think, what you can ask from yourself, that what is the unexpected success from last year? In your youth ministry, what is your unexpected success from last year? What happened really well, what you did not expect? What was the good moment? Who was the good person who you did not expect on him or her? What happened which was unexpected? Because if you see this, maybe you can develop that thing in your ministry. The second one, or the next one, is unify people. So for example, if you ask them and listen to them, it's much easier to involve them to a training. And if you involve them, you won't be alone in your training. And we do also researches and the resources, which is important to know what's their needs. So if we ask their needs in researches, in personal questions, in a registration form, then we can know that what's their titles, what they like. So that's the thing. I think if we train youth leaders, these are the five questions what we always need to address. So that's what we do. Answer these five questions. I think this is the most important if we train them. And that's how we started. That why do we do this? Why do we do youth ministry? Because if it's not clear, then we will be a program-driven youth ministry and not discipleship driven youth ministry. So the first is always the why. If we go anywhere, the first question is why. Why do you do youth ministry? Doesn't matter if you're in a small congregation or in a big congregation, it's the same. The second one is for whom. That who are the youth? What they are interested in? Where they are? What do they like? How they act? What we can expect from them? Is it possible to ask them to engage, come here and behave really good and also believe everything what we say? Or they work something differently? For example, there is a role what Martin Saunders says from Youthscape that it's three stages that they belong, behave and believe. So if we don't follow these orders, we will just miss a lot of good opportunities. So the second one is for whom? For whom do we serve? And the third one, how? How do we do the sessions? How we counsel them? How do we handle if they have a divorce in their family? How do we handle the pornography? How do we handle? And in this part, they can ask any topics. So at this part, this is the biggest theme. So then we need to ask them what they are interested in, what's their situation, what's their challenges. So in a smaller congregation, it's different, and in a bigger one, it's also a different one. The fourth one is who is doing the service. So who are you in youth ministry? What do you need to concentrate on? How you not burn out? How you will be fresh? How you can understand the Bible? So it's about the pastor or the leader. And the last one is what you should teach. And it's also how you plan a half year, what kind of resources we can show to you, what they are interested in, or what's the topics they are interested in it. We have a couple of examples what you can follow. So we show and also give you some resources what they can follow. So that's the five questions what we use at trainings. Then I would like to just finish that with a couple of examples or tips that how can you start or continue. But as I see your eyes, that's my feeling that you already started this, or you already have experience in training or in youth ministry, so it's not new for you. And for example, a couple of you mentioned that how you do youth ministry. But anyway, so if you want to continue or start, I think first you need to see the local needs. What's the needs in the congregation? Do you have any leaders? If not, how can you have leaders? From where? From the Sunday service, from outside, from the school, from the parents? If there is a local need, if there is something other local needs, for example, that you have leaders, but they are not equipped and you don't know how, maybe you should find another local church where you can have a network with and meet sometimes. The second one is that if you want to train leaders, you don't need to do it on your own. because we don't know everything, and also we don't have time for everything. So actually, that's the main reason we did the youth ministry weekend and we did the network, because we didn't have the time to organize the training for only our leaders. And it's much easier to cooperate with others because it's better use of the time if you cooperate with others. The third one is similarities. So if you have a if you are in a congregation, I'm really sure, and that's what I see in Hungary, that if you have, for example, a problem like you, Patrice, said, that there is only elder people in the church and not really many youth and not really any youth leaders, I'm really sure that there are someone else in the country who has the same problem. I think the biggest problem is that we don't see each other. So the biggest problem is not that we don't see the results or the... yeah, good ideas, but we don't really connect with other people. So that's what I experienced. And the next one is correct order. And I, in the remembrance of Tim Keller, I really like what he says, that how can we know if we have a calling from God? And he said that we need to have three different things. One is a need, that we have to see a need in that territory, something what need to be solved. The second one is that we need to have skills to do that. So at least a little bit of the skills, not all of that already, but at least a little bit of the knowledge, the readings on that what we start to do. And the third one is the calling, the feeling from God that this is my way to do. So that's what Tim Keller said, that we need to have three different things if we want to step in a calling. So if you want to train youth ministry leaders, I think it's also a big help for you that you need to see a needs, how or why you should train them. The second is your feeling. And the third one is, what was the third one? I don't know. Yeah. Thank you, and you're going, and skills. All right. And the last one, I really like Andrew Root, one of my favorite youth writers, says that we need to address the problem. That's our goal in youth ministry. That's what he says, that we need to address the problem, also in the youth sessions and also in youth trainings as well. So if we see a good problem, if we find a good problem and we address that problem, that will be a good result for the youth as well. So if we address the good problem for the youth at the session, the good topics, the good Bible passage, that's already a success. Because we will feel that we found something which is important for them. And it's true also for the trainings, that if we find the problem and if we address the good problem what they have, our training in a halfway of the success. After that, we just need to organize that one.